welcome you back. Just another day. We have a lot of things to go on today. Diet, getting ready for the fall season, assuming you'll be listening to this in the fall. We keep running into this. Is it radio? Is it podcast?
Well, when it is on podcast, fall will be coming eventually, so this is timeless stuff.
I never thought.
We're putting it in the archives.
Thank you, Dobie. Novo Nordisk. Let's go right to the news, because we actually have a lot of it. And it's actually good this time. Well, not good if you have a glucagen hypo kit from Novo Nordisk. It's basically what you use.
Is that the WAMO of medical companies?
I'm telling you, it is very hard to say. Yep. Oh, and by the way, just before we start this, mm-hmm. I had some dental work yesterday.
Okay.
I'm highly impacted on multiple levels. So mm-hmm. the sibilances will be very tough, and I'm going to over-enunciate on a lot of things. I'll sound very nasty at times.
Please do.
A couple of reports come out of malfunction of needles on the sterile water for injection, and that's an essential component of the kit. Basically, a hypo kit. It's glucagon. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. You're diabetic on type 1 or 2, I'm sure, and the insulin might kick in a little harder. It makes you a little goofy at times. Mm-hmm. It makes you shaky, anxious.
Kind of like being in love.
Except for the coma, seizure, and death. But, yeah. Well, actually,
and,
no.
And losing half your income.
Yeah. That's
at the end.
So I guess you can hold on to the death part, too. Yeah, anyway, the point of the Norbo Nordisk, 4 out of 71,215 recalled pens won't work. That's the ratio that they're giving people. So you have a chance that the syringe won't work as you are struggling to inject the one that you love. So they are accepting the returns. Really nice, considering it's a recall. You're going to have to look at the recall date. I'm not going to get into it here. Look at the website, our website, thediabeticshow.com. Mm-hmm. Or go on the web, go anywhere. Look for Novo Nordisk recall for the glucagen. Potentially life-saving information there. And speaking of hypoglycemia, I put these in order. The Dollar General, they were sued and they lost this week. Basically, here's what happens. Back in 2014, an insulin-dependent diabetic cashier in Dollar General's Maryville, Tennessee store told her supervisor that she needed to keep juice near the cash register in case of a hypoglycemic attack. Again, here we are with the hypoglycemia. Mm-hmm. Juice works really well. You know, high sugar content works pretty fast. But apparently there's a rule over the Dollar General that the supervisor did not allow juice near the cash register because you're working a register at the Dollar General. You know, we've got, you know, levels.
Was it so juice won't spill in the register?
It's a Dollar General.
I don't care. Okay. They could use an abacus.
So
everything's a buck. Price check. It's all a dollar.
That's another show.
Does it matter?
What's a dollar left in that store anymore? Nothing. The juice that she took and drank in a hypoglycemic incident was $1.69 plus the tax.
So they charge it with theft?
They refer to it as grazing the inventory. Employee grazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I smell a lawsuit there.
Funny you would say that. She did and won. Basically, the gist is the EEOC, Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, did a good thing. They helped sue the employee or the employer on behalf of the employee. The federal jury finds in favor of the plaintiff, awards the employee $27,565 in back pay.
Which is like five stores.
Over probably 3 years
of
work.
All the stuff is crap. It's toilet paper and out-of-date candy bars. That's all it is.
So I'm thinking that's somebody we can take off the sponsor sheet.
Well, I'm just saying. They could call it Nickel General now because it went down because she won.
In addition to the back pay, the lady gets $250,000 in compensatory damages.
There we go.
That buys a few glucopens.
Little Funyuns, whole wheat ding-dongs, all the good stuff. She can be diabetic all she wants.
Well, the
Diet Pepsi, everything. They got it.
CEO of Dollar General?
Mm-hmm. Bill Dollar? I'm trying to fill in your gaps, Mark.
No comment.
I'm Cato. You're the Green Hornet here. Let's go.
I like the Cato analogy.
Yeah.
By the way. He looks good in black.
Kung Fu.
Now, one more thing before we take the break. This is a local event, mm-hmm. yearly. Tried to look this up. It's kind of hard I'm not really sure what I'm speaking of here. Mm-hmm. No, really. But the event is, and we'll get more on the website about this as well. We step out to walk to stop diabetes. That's a yearly thing.
And I've participated in some of those in the past.
Right, and it's one of those traditional, I'm participating here, sign the sheet, and pledge X per mile.
Yeah.
And it's working out well. Now, I know at one time there was one in the Kenosha-Racine area. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it's still around. If it isn't, we can go back out. They have more than enough in, let me think, Buffalo Grove, Illinois, a little
That's
south.
That's the one that I would, was
yeah,
at.
Yeah, yeah. So very big on that. Of course, one in Chicago on luxurious lakefront. And Milwaukee. Now, we do have some information here on the Milwaukee event. It's going on. I knew I should have had the address or the date. That would have been very important.
Let's put it on the website. And
October 15th, 2016, Schlitz Park in Milwaukee. There's going to be a 5K and a one-mile route winding through the beautiful downtown Milwaukee Riverwalk. What do you think?
Well, I know dodging buses is a good way to avoid diabetes.
And it's a good idea for us to speak with General Manager David Cole on maybe working something out for October. Fly up in a company jet.
Maybe we could have our own walk somewhere. You know, the walk to Sturtevant. You know, through Franksville. Eating sauerkraut. A lot of good, what was it? Not antioxidants. What's in sauerkraut? The good thing, the same thing that's in yogurt.
Gas.
No, well, that too. No, I'm very serious. It's not antitoxins. There's something that about yogurt and sauerkraut. You know what it is?
If the wife was here, she could tell you right off. She reads books instead of listening to me. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
I'll think of it.
Well, so don't forget about that. The walk. We'll get you more information on the website, the Facebook page. It's blistering, and we'll take the break here. We'll come back with Donna Swanson from UHS talking
the diet. Real expert.
Yeah, the diet.
Thing. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Diabetic Show. Be right back. Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwett.
And you are a type 1.
I am a type 1.
Is that right?
I'm sorry, we're coming out of break. I saw Troy here hurting himself on the equipment.
That's always funny behind the break in radio. I think we're all sitting here rigid in a state. We're all crazy throwing spitballs at each other. My name is Dobie Maxwell. We're type 2. And our special guest, Donna Swanson, joins us, you bring credibility to our nuttiness. We are just two regular jamokes, jabronis, calzones, ham and eggers, whatever you want to say it. And you bring credibility so we can be on the air. And we thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Too kind.
I'm a little bit worried, though, because when you come in, usually you are always very prepared. But now you brought us paperwork and homework. So there's something in you. Either we're not doing the job right, or you are getting the boss is saying, you know what, you better straighten those two idiots up.
I don't know if it's homework. It's exciting news. It's an exciting time in
good
diabetes management.
Is it healed? Is it over?
I don't think so yet.
Okay.
But we're getting
hold
there.
Hold on. Let me interrupt. Let me interject.
Please do.
Because this is what we brought up over the break. Dobie didn't quite get why the win for the plaintiff in the case against Dollar General. And that means I didn't explain it well.
Mm-hmm.
I like that's what Dobie, he makes me read things. It's very good.
It's like a Judge Judy here. You got to have the right winner.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal. She was working.
Mm-hmm.
Felt an attack coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Drank that $1.69 plus tax OJ before paying for it. Okay? After the symptoms passed, as they do, once the sugar comes in there and your brain starts coming back as well, the cashier then paid for the juice. After a question about inventory arose, the employee confessed her brazen crime of drinking before buying to the company's district manager. So that's what it was. Middle management.
But we're talking to Donna. It's not her fault that she has diabetes. Do you think? I think she should have won.
Yeah, because that was the whole problem. She was happy to bring her own from home, because Lord knows, Dollar General. But the point being, you can't do that because she would need to keep the juice near the cash register in case of the hypoglycemic attack. Supervisor did not allow employees to do this. Although, and I missed this part too again, Dobie. You gotta stop wearing that shirt. It's that shirt. I'm totally. Lose track.
Nobody in the listening audience knows I even have a shirt.
I know, but it's that depth.
I could have a suit of armor for all they know.
It's.
I could be wearing a loincloth. I might be.
See, I've
under these
track.
Levi's,
I
might.
Promise he's not.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. I want to thank everybody for listening. Have a great... Okay, anyway, according to the testimony at the trial, the supervisor did not allow employees to do the... Here's where I lost my place. Although the company has a policy that would allow it for those who need it. Apparently, it's one of those EEOC rules for people with disease, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Helps people in the workplace. Dollar General, that's what they abused, because she bought it, then paid for it later. The district manager comes in. It's called grazing. You know, the employees stealing things, you know, the knick-knack here.
Can I tell you something really quickly?
Does it remind you of an old story?
Really quickly. I work in the comedy business for a long time, and a lot of it is run by the mafia. And the I'm just being very serious here.
Is this some time delay so I can leave?
The mafia expects a certain amount of theft. They said, okay, we expect to lose 5% to theft. When it comes 6%, we'll break your fingers. They allow 5%. It's the dollar store. If you can't lose a bag of M&Ms or a jug of orange juice once in a while, then you shouldn't be in business. To try to stop all theft, you're going to get sued, and I'm glad she won.
It's that margin thing you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't know. It seems like there's two separate issues going on here. Like, the first issue with that whole story that I would take issue with is the fact that she wasn't allowed to self-manage. She wasn't.
Right.
She's protected under the American with Disabilities Act.
ADA, right.
And so she should have been allowed to have her own. She was put in a position where she had no other option. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she deserved to win that lawsuit, because she wasn't allowed to exercise her own right without having to she had no other option but to take it. But, you know, then, you know, but the concept of, well, you have to accept a certain amount of theft, I don't know. If I were a business owner, I wouldn't be too happy with that either.
If you're a bar owner, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know
because,
it's going to happen.
You know, some of those folks are having a hard time making ends meet as it is if they're a new business owner. But she should have never been put in that position to begin with. That's
right.
The biggest issue
couldn't
right there
more.
Is she should have
been. See, now, I'm sure nobody's ever told you this before, Donna, but with that kind of an attitude about, you know, the mafia would probably love to have you in the organization, because you know you're taking that 5% that Dolby's just tossing out the window.
No. When I was in high school, I worked at an ice cream place, and of course, I gave ice cream to all my friends.
Was it run by people or an organization?
Cool. No, it was run by people.
Okay,
it was years later that I realized how wrong I was, because I was a punk high school kid, like most of us are. Like, work at McDonald's, you give your buddies hamburgers. Tell me that doesn't happen every day.
It's because you're a giving person.
No, because I'm an idiot, and I realized that, and I sat down, I wrote the guy a letter that owned the ice cream store, and I said, "Boy, I was just a high school kid. I'm really sorry." And I sent him $25. And I said, I was probably...
Oh, see, that's the best part of that whole story.
That's
you
true.
You had guilt.
I did have guilt. No, but I said, not at the time I did it, though. I had to give them the plumbing, everything they wanted, heating, you know, the copper pipes, whatever, cash in. But I said, I was wrong, but I didn't realize it as a kid, and I thought it was cool having a job, and I was 22 when I gave it back. He never wrote back, but I did feel guilty about it. But I think... You know, the mafia, they don't feel guilty about breaking your fingers. Take your 5%, 6%, we're going to whack you.
I think Donna's district would do far better than your casino. It just would.
I'm not saying it wouldn't.
Granted, you might have some dealers not being able to do cards because of their fingers, but okay, let's actually drift into a subject
that
somehow wraps into this diabetic thing. Donna Swanson, United Hospital System, hopefully after this show as well, Donna. Thank you for coming in. You've got... a lot on the plate today, because first we were talking, we weren't quite sure which way to go with the show, and then Donna, again, great idea, we're coming into the season, coming into the fall, things are transitioning.
And holidays after that.
Yes.
Yep.
So we're talking diets, and if not diets, at least ways to build yourself up through it. I don't know.
I think a big part of this time of the year, and what right now educators in our department, everybody's looking at, in the fall, we always want to make sure people have their exercise plan for winter ready. We want to make sure that they're planning out diets and meals and thinking about Halloween. How am I going to dress Halloween? We got all this candy. What am I going to buy? What am I going to get for these trick-or-treaters? At Thanksgiving, what am I going to serve? Am I going to drink alcohol? I mean, all of these things are things we should be thinking about this time of year, because when the moment arrives, if we jump into that unprepared, what's going to end up happening is you go back to your doctor a month later. Yeah, it was the holidays, and that's why my blood sugar was so high, and it becomes an excuse. Where if we're thinking about it now, we can plan ahead, and it doesn't have to be. You can have a lot of the things that you enjoy around the holidays, but we're planning for them, so we incorporate it in so that we don't end up in these pitfalls of, or, you know, God forbid, end up in the hospital during the holidays.
I bet that happens a lot.
Yeah, that's never a happy time for anyone.
Well, somebody said, I don't know who said it, is it's not what you eat between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's what you eat between Christmas and Thanksgiving. And that month, I didn't say that, but I think that's going to make a lot of sense. Because you could just go crazy, you know, Thanksgiving, and next thing you know, you're in a coma.
Right, and so part of that planning is, like, for Halloween, it's never a good idea to buy multiple bags of candy for trick-or-treaters that may or may not arrive. Most people have an idea how many are going to show up at their door. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of not buying candy at all. Maybe buy do kids have to?
Here's
every
your
neighbor
pennies.
You have is going to be giving out candy.
Here's your celery stock. Oh, happy
no,
Halloween.
No, I'm not saying celery. They give pencils. They give erasers. If you want to do candy, I've seen pretzel bags. I mean, you can look at the cart. Every neighbor on my block gives out candies. I have one neighbor that gives out big old Hershey bars. Yeah, everybody loves her. That's great.
Let's get that address.
What's that address? Exactly. I'm going to drive by here.
But Donna, at the end of the day, these kids come home, and, you know, I have two kids that went through this, and they come home with a mountain of candy that lasts well over a month. So one of the best things I've seen dentists do is they will buy some of that candy back, which I think is awesome. If you want to keep some candy, keep a small amount of candy, and when it's done, and spread it out so they aren't eating multiple amounts in one setting.
This will be Donna's last appearance on the diabetic show.
Easy to spot.
Seriously, honestly, truly, we all hear what we want to hear. That's very smart. I'm kidding you, but that really is a smart thing to do. But it's hard to pull it to sell that, though, really. We had the lady in our neighborhood that gave out pennies. Did you have that when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I have a lady that gives out quarters, and all the kids clamored.
Yeah.
But thankfully, she didn't have, like, 200.
They're Canadian quarters. They're Canadian.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of them all. Save them all year. Think. There you go.
Okay, so I'm picturing at your house. You have Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Halloween. And then the next day, cleaning all the egg off of your off the windows.
No.
Toilet paper off the trees.
Oh, they're giving out. Yeah, no. No, the word would get around. The word would get around real fast.
Acidophilus house. You like that place.
Yes. Little containers of yogurt. Okay. All right. We're done. Sorry. We can't. She's the only one with any standing. We should really lay off down.
You guys are brutal.
No, it's true, but that's who they ever bring. Do you really get that? What do you give out at your house?
I give – one year I did pretzels. I did – but I do, like,
that's
little
fat
bags of pretzels with – and, I mean, they're higher fat. It's not the healthiest thing out there, mm-hmm. but I do pretzels with a pencil, like a Halloween-style pencil. We
have
whistles.
They can write their suicide notes.
They have those little – no, you can go to the dollar store and get those bags of, like, party bags that they give out at little kids'
not
parties.
Not the one in Bumblefrump, Tennessee.
Little toys. Oh, goodness. You guys
the toys are
going
to.
I mean, kids love that stuff.
They do. They
I think we're broadcast to Tennessee. Yeah.
As long as you're not those little fake peanuts.
Oh.
Those little marshmallow peanuts,
exactly
the big
what you're
ones.
Talking about.
Oh, they're disgusting.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything of that consistency does not belong in the same planet as myself.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We're getting the fingers from Troy. We'll take the break, and then we'll come back. And we'll actually talk about the diet. That'll be kind of fun, and how to build up and through it and things
absolutely
like that there then. The Diabetic Show. The Diabetic Show. Mark Bilwet, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2. We are delighted that you're joining us as we learn together about the ins and outs of a nasty disease that we're going to wipe off the planet ourselves. Just, it's a three-act show. Donna's going to help us. We'll be her assistants, and it'll be gone.
Yes, she's the one with the real degree. Donna Swanson from the United Hospital System. And actually, Donna, give us just a little bit about yourself. You're so much more than just... What? Nurse? You do... Well, go ahead. What do you do?
Well, I work over at United Hospitals, United Hospital System here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the Diabetes Education Self-Management Clinic. So I am the coordinator over there. I'm a certified diabetic educator and RN, and this is our life's calling. We work with people with diabetes. We work with the day-to-day challenges of managing this disease and following the ADA guidelines, no matter how hard they are to follow sometimes. It's one of those things I enjoy immensely because I think that until people have lived it, which I have not lived it, so I constantly defer to my patients because they are the ones who are living it.
But your daughter's living it. You have it in the family, so you deal with it every day.
Yeah, you're front row. We do.
At home and work. That's terrible. I mean, not terrible, but I mean, it's like, no break.
It's good.
I never thought of it like that. You work it and you live it. So, yeah. Anyway, on behalf, and I've worked with Donna now a couple times, and thank you. And I know it's just not me that you're giving me the treatment. You're actually listening, and you're great. So
we really appreciate you coming in. Now, if someone wanted to see Donna or to schedule a visit, how could they do that to come see you? Can they join your program or maybe take a class or something?
We see patients by physician referral. So the first thing they need to do is go talk to their doctor, ask for a referral for diabetes education. Anybody with a diagnosis of diabetes or prediabetes, those are the ones we get really excited to see. Not that we enjoy and get excited to see all patients, but prediabetes is a special time because we can do a lot of intervention and prevent the onset of type 2.
Explain that. Okay. Who is a prediabetic besides probably 3 out of 4 people?
Yeah, so it's like 84 million people right now in the U.S. walking around with prediabetes, have no idea. They, if we were to measure an A1C on them, which is like a 3-month average of blood sugar, they go into the doctor and get it checked. It's not routine lab work, but if they were, their A1C would be like 5.6 to 6.4. If they were to check their blood sugar in the morning, it would be somewhere between 100 and 125.
And that's considered pre-diabetic?
That's considered pre-diabetic, yeah. So once people go in and they get routine lab work and they come back and their fasting blood sugar is 110 and nothing said, they have a problem brewing, or they potentially could. So they need to stay in touch with their doctor, find out, you know, hey, can I get some repeat testing done and follow up on that.
Okay, so you come in, you have those numbers, and they fall in that category. What's the first thing you fix?
So somebody is diagnosed with prediabetes.
Right. What's the first thing they do? Is it diet?
We talk about diet and exercise. Right. Yep. That's the first thing we do. As a matter of fact, the CDC has a program out, and there's not a whole lot of places utilizing that. I mean, it's growing right now. It's growing immensely of this program that they have developed for prediabetes. And we're currently working on that as well. Right now, we teach patients on an individual basis how to prevent prediabetes from developing into type 2 diabetes, but I'm excited about that curriculum that they bring forth. It's all diet and exercise and consistent with what we teach there already. So we get excited to see that because we can do a lot in that stage.
Well, hopefully between our insanity and the radio, we can get people to come and see you, and you know, we want to make it light but not make fun of it. There's a fine line that I think we walk there.
You know what I'm
saying? We both have
fall
it.
Off, yes.
We both are in it, so we don't want to ever make fun of, but we want to have fun, we want to make fun. Big difference.
So I will answer your original question. How do they get in touch with us?
Yes.
They go to their doctor, get a referral for diabetes education. The doctor sends it to our office. If they call our office, our number is 262-656-2597.
That number again, operators are standing by.
262-656 2597.
I learned in radio, you can't say the phone number just once. You got to repeat it.
That's true, because they're running for their pad and paper. Mm-hmm.
So if they go and call that number, we will gladly give them our fax number and have that order faxed over, and we'd be happy to schedule them.
Super. Hopefully we could be a pipeline.
Well, it's a situation where you're going to get the business no matter what.
It's growing.
Yeah, with the American lifestyle and the food and the exercise. Now, speaking as a type 1, and honestly, let me sidetrack for a second, Dobie. I think being a type 1 diabetic, I should be allowed to make fun of other type 1 diabetics. Just
make fun of them? How so?
I'm in the same boat. The exact same boat. So it couldn't be like I'm pointing out, because I'd really be pointing those 4 fingers back at myself. So I think everything works out just fine. I've lost total track of what I'm talking about. Would you like to...
Want to drink some orange juice, or are you going to sue the radio station here? Are you having a
grazing,
woozy
grazing policy?
Out?
I'm not a fan of the grazing policy, Toby. But it's a situation with me. When I exercise, I need sometimes up to 40, 50% less insulin that I inject 4 times a day, really. Twice in the morning, once in the afternoon, once at night to testing my sugars now, 4 times a day. Since I met Donna, obviously that's the number one thing you have to do. I mean, after you meet Donna the first time, may I say, sure, it's my history. It's medical.
It is. Yours.
Right.
You can. I can't.
Okay. Well, you meet her first, and she seems really nice. She is nice. But and then we set the goals up. Okay, you're going to test your blood this many times, right? And then you're going to test that many. And right away, yes, ma'am. Yeah, of course I am. And then, you know, maybe it's not 4 times. Maybe it was like three times that day because this happened or the cat threw up. You got life going on. And then you have an appointment sometime later to see Donna again, the follow-up, where it's like part two. And then she'll look over the numbers. I see you didn't take a reading here. Why didn't you take a reading? It was kind of like you
legitimate
left your
question.
Homework.
I was grading you.
Dog ate my A1C.
Right away, I launch into Ralph Cramden. Hamina.
Yeah.
But overall, the point of it is the closer you are to knowing where you are with your glucose, especially on my side of it, and obviously Adobe on your side as well. I mean, you're getting whittled away from the inside out pretty much the same way I am.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for those happy thoughts.
Well, look, I'm just trying to give it to you straight.
Just die in a car wreck and make it quick. Just a head-on, boom, that's it. And I'll check my blood sugar as they're wheeling my head just in a back box by itself.
Let's talk again. Donna.
The whole testing thing, okay? So the reality is, and I always try, and I'm sure I had to have done this, but I try to make sure that people know that we never judge. It's really a matter of the better somebody understands. See, he's
that still makes you feel terrible that you missed one
here,
one there.
I'm sorry, Mark. I apologize. No, but the more people are, like, if you test before, well, your situation's a little bit different, and the goals are different for everybody.
Sure.
And insurance dictates a lot of that.
Yeah.
So that we're very careful. We don't want to judge. But obviously, the more somebody is in tune with what their blood sugar is, because it varies so many times throughout the day. Now, I've shown you, I know I've shown many of my patients the copy of a continuous glucose sensor, printout of that.
Oh, yes.
And it fluctuates. When people see that, it fluctuates greatly throughout the day. And sometimes we're only catching a very small snapshot of that day. So the one I love to share with people is when I did one of my daughter, and she allows me to share this with everybody, but at every one of her test times, her blood sugar looks normal.
Right.
But when you see it on sensors, she's got all these fluctuations. Yep. And that, and then the times where she doesn't check when she was symptomatic. And so a lot of that is just keeping yourself in check. It's not for any type of judgment from the educator or the physician or the nurse,
yeah,
but it's really to make sure that you're self-aware.
Speaking to you now as a type 1 patient.
Yes.
I'm about to go to sleep, and I'm so lazy, I'm so tired, I just want to, limp the 18 feet to the bedroom. Yeah. Donna's going to want to know what my blood sugar is before I went to sleep, because I won't be able to tie it into my morning reading.
Make something up.
You can't. The old days, you could. You had a logbook. Logbooks are easy. That's what the eraser's for, But no, in this world of digital technology, doohickeys, no.
I know.
She knows that I test my blood at 10:17 p.m. Mm-hmm. And again,
but you're putting way too much weight on me, Mark. Really, is it for my benefit
yes.
or yours?
No. As long as you're happy. Don, you're happy.
So kind.
I'm happy.
You're so kind.
Oh, God. Okay.
We've got to wrap it up. The clock on the wall says
Boy,
we are done for another
thank
episode.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Yeah, if there's any information you gleaned out of this, go to the website, diabeticshow.com, or Facebook. We're up there as well.
And we are available for questions as well. We'd love to have your question on the next show.
All righty. Thanks again for listening. Oh, Troy McDonald pressing the buttons.
Thank
again.
You, Troy.
Thank you very much, Troy. And again, Donna, thank you.
Thanks for having
Diabetic
me.
Show, thanks for being there.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's. Visit andreasgifts.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, books, and more. Now offering online ordering from Jack's Cafe. andreasgifts.com.
Support comes from the Bragi Coffee House and Wine Bar, offering fresh organic coffee and espresso drinks, affordable wines and beer, live music, and delicious dishes. Bragi is still in Williams Bay, but it's at a new location, 107 North Walworth Avenue. Visit BragiCoffeeWineMusicArt.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Little Europa,